The sound of people taking to the streets from Europe to the Middle East and there on Wall Street at the end, protesters complaining about their governments and financial institutions and talking about taking action to bring economic security back to the working class. It relates to the global housing crisis, record high unemployment rates around the world, faltering economies everywhere, and the stalling of democratic governments who don't seem to be in a position to do anything about it right now. Joining us this morning is Nicholas Kulish, Berlin bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, who wrote about these global protests for today's front page of The Times. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, John.
What is the theme that you find in all of these various protests? And give me a sense of the global scope of this.
Well, I mean, the scope, I think, you see these from India to Israel, from cradles of democracy like Athens and London, over to Madrid. You see different styles of protest. Germany is always very organized, so they have an organized protest in the Pirate Party. But you know, it's really all over the place, and a sense that politicians aren't representing the people is, I think, at the core of it.
Is this a frustration with capitalism or a frustration with democracy?
That it's an interplay between the two, what you call liberal democracy. There's a sense that the rules are sort of skewed against the people, and that they have very little voice, and what voice they have in terms of voting is almost useless because it's ignored. I mean, that's I think what you hear when you talk to people on the ground in these movements.
Talking with Nicholas Kulish, who's Berlin bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, who wrote about the themes in global protests focusing on economic insecurity around the world for the front page of The New York Times today. Nicholas, some of these pictures remind me of the situation in Argentina a generation ago when, military leaders stepped in to deal with a sense of chaos in the traditional democratic institutions. Where are these protests headed, do you think?
You know, I think it's very hard to tell. I think it's important to underscore that these are really, by and large, peaceful protests. I mean, you saw in the London riots, you saw some destruction, and the same, in Athens at different times over the austerity measures. But in India, in Israel, in Spain, you have some of the largest protests these countries have seen. But with peaceful protesters. On the other hand, on Wall Street, for example, you've seen those images of people using pepper spray. There's a sense that they don't know how to control these crowds. And so there's a desire to get them under control, and that they do that by force often. So there could be problems.
In the people that you've talked to, what is the sort of sense of unpredictability in these protests? We certainly saw in the Arab Spring protests and those movements, which are fundamentally different, I think, and it's dangerous to compare them. But that was all set off by an incident out of the blue in Tunisia between a small-scale bureaucrat and a even smaller street vendor, and it erupted into a global movement. Any sense that there's a tipping point somewhere that really can't be seen around the corner?
Well, one of the things that makes it so difficult to see is that these are leaderless revolutions. There's no Lenin or Fidel Castro behind the scenes. These are people who communicate together using social media and using Twitter and things like that. And so a demonstration doesn't form, or people don't meet up. It just materializes sometimes, where just suddenly you're standing at a corner. They say 5 o'clock, and at 5 suddenly there are all these people with signs, and then at 5:10 it's 10,000 people. So to try to predict, when or where something will happen is extremely difficult. The people deeply involved in these movements often don't know themselves.
So you've got a self-organizing dynamic here. You've got people who say things like corruption rules our country. We're the first generation to say voting is worthless. I'm just reading some of the quotes from your article this morning. It sounds like even though these are peaceful demonstrations now, I mean, people who have given up, I think, don't necessarily have much to lose. And that can be a dangerous combination.
And that, I think, you know, the British writer Owen Jones said that to me about the people in the London riots, that those people had a feeling that they had nothing to lose. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there's a positive direction. People are experimenting really with what they believe is that they should have sort of real time, up to the minute democracy. What they say, it's not that they're against democracy. Nobody's arguing in favor of dictatorship, but what they say is, you know, voting every 4 years, that's a 18th century, you know, phenomenon. We're able to vote 1,000 times a day on the internet for various things, and we ought to be, you know, we have the technology now for the people to really be involved in the decisions. And so that's what they're, I think, really aiming toward in a lot of these different places.
Talking to Nicholas Kulish, Berlin bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. You know, a lot of you are going to say, fine, the, you know, lefty Times is focused on protesters. There's nothing that's going to rock America into the kind of wide-scale protests you see in a place like Greece. So what's your response to that?
Well, you know, I mean, part of what the article is about is that this expresses itself in different ways everywhere. And I think that it's not – a lot of the themes are traditionally left, but I would tie this in a lot of ways to the Tea Party movement, because they, too, felt that there was a captive government that was responding only to special interests, that didn't hear the will of the people. And I mean, a lot of so some of the policies that people advocate, individuals advocate, might be different, but a lot of that frustration that you see boiling over is similar in those different ways.
Do you find that fusion of anarchy, libertarianism, and the left around the world in these protests as well?
Yeah, I mean, it can be difficult. It can be difficult to stereotype. Obviously, you know, India and Israel have these fast growing economies and entirely different responses than, say, Greece and Spain, which are being forced by an outside power like the European Union to basically shrink their social spending. But I do think, I mean, there is very much an internet ethos behind a lot of what's moving people, and that ethos is very much about, you know, greater freedom and things for free, and so I do think there's some truth to that. Yes.
Themes around the world in protests reported by Nicholas Kulish, Berlin bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Read it on the front page of the New York Times today. Nicholas, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.